from Restore of the Heartland. 776-9668. Online at restoreoftheheartland.com.
Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you, and I am now here with Joanne Sutton, the Executive Director of Manhattan Housing Authority, and Board Member Bill Anderson. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we were just talking a little bit during that break, kind of what the big topic you wanted to bring to the table, and it involves the high-rise, the only high-rise in Manhattan right near the post office.
Yes, sir. We were here a couple months ago and gave an update on the high-rise, and we just wanted to keep the community informed and up to speed on what's happening with that project. The last time we were here, I think the city had just approved $1 million recoverable grant agreement for the Housing Authority. So the city is providing $1 million so that we can finish out this project. And those dollars are going to replacing the below-grade sewer lines. Well, not to replace them, excuse me, to line them and to replace the windows in the entire building. And so that comes in just right at about $945,000 or so to do those two things. The first phase of the project to finish on this final leg of the project was to go in and clean out those sewer lines and put cameras down there to make sure that they were able to be lined versus replacing all of those under below grade sewer lines. And we did get favorable results. So we are able to go in and line those sewer lines versus replacing them, which was a real blessing to us. So that's going to come in at about $135,000 to do that. And simultaneously, Manco Windows will be working on production of windows so that they can begin the replacement of those windows. It will be all the windows, all the balcony doors, and all the ground floor patio doors and windows in the office as well.
So right now that that high rise is not occupied, at least right now?
That's correct. It is not occupied. When we first discovered the problem with mold in the building, we applied for an emergency grant from the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and we did receive funds from them. We also contracted to do an energy performance contract, and so some of the improvements, mostly the HVAC system in that building, was completed through the energy performance contract. So those two things ran simultaneously. But because we had to, there was so much work to be done, and because we had to remove asbestos, we had to vacate the building and relocate the tenants that were in the building at the time. And so this has been going on. The building has been completely vacant since January of 2015.
Wow.
Yes, and so it's been a long project. We've come across, you know, we've had many delays and come across items that were unforeseen and that caused delays. And then there were some funding issues, and we had to get those resolved so that we could carry on with the project. But we're finally on the final leg of the project. The completion date for this last phase is July 25th for the contractors. However, we're really hoping that things go very, very smoothly, and the work can be done prior to then so that we can start reoccupying this building.
And that's one of those buildings that's very visible in Manhattan, but a lot of people maybe just don't know that history of it. And
yes.
I actually didn't really realize that that was a low-income housing building. I guess, Joanne or Phil, if you want to step in, if you can give us kind of a little history on that building. Was it always a low-income occupancy building from the get-go?
It was. It was built in 1973, and it was built for low-income seniors. When it was first built, it was designated for seniors. And then along the way HUD changed the rules, and they included disabled in the definition of seniors. And so it became a building specifically for seniors and disabled. And then the regulations changed again, HUD regulations changed again. And no buildings were specifically designated for seniors and disabled. So we house just about anybody there that qualifies. And as long as their family composition will fit into the bedroom sizes that we have. We have 55 studio apartments and 33 one-bedroom apartments in that building.
Brady Bowman here with Joanne Sutton, the Executive Director of the Manhattan Housing Authority, and Board Member Bill Anderson. And has the Manhattan Housing Authority been associated with that building from the beginning? I guess maybe give us a little history on the Manhattan Housing Authority and kind of what it is.
Yes. Many years ago, the Department of HUD provided development funds so that housing authorities could purchase construct public housing developments. And so we actually have five developments throughout the city that we own and manage. And Apartment Towers was the first project that was developed. Low-income housing is for persons who are at or below of 80% of the median income guidelines. And the Department of Housing and Urban Development provided all of the development funds to build the units. And the Housing Authority administers them in accordance with federal regulations. They will always remain low-income housing. Tenants pay 30% of their adjusted gross income towards that, and HUD subsidizes the rest. The Housing Authority was originally formed by the City of Manhattan, and for a long time was a department of the city. We are now considered kind of an agent of the city, and the City Commission appoints our Board of Commissioners.
All right. And Phil, I guess talk a little bit about your involvement to get you in on here and your thoughts on this high-rise tower apartments. Is that the
apartment towers?
Well, I'm one of seven Board of Commissioners that helps Joanne and advises the way in which the whole program operates. And tell you the truth, I can't remember how long I've been on the board, but it's been probably 7 or 8 years, I think.
Long enough not to be sure.
Right? Long enough not to be sure. In fact, Bruce Sneed was the commission representative on the board when I first came on, so it's been a while. But my big concern originally, even before the mold problem, was that the windows in the towers, even though they were Pella windows, were designed 45 years ago and installed 45 years ago. They were wooden casements and single pane, and they leaked. And the leaking was a big part of the mold problem. And so we knew even before we discovered the mold that those windows had to go. And because I'd had very good luck with the Manco Window Company in town, I suggested that we go with the Manco Windows, and they've been very cooperative, and I've had very good luck, not only with the quality of their work, but their determination to make sure that quality is installed and maintained at the highest level. So we're very happy working with Manco. And the reason that's good is because if you ever have a problem, you know who to call, and you can go right over to their office and say, we have a problem here and you need to send somebody over. And I did that with our bed and breakfast, and they were very responsive, very, very quick to make whatever adjustment was necessary.
Let's go ahead and take our last break of the hour on In Focus. We'll come back and we'll talk more about the Manhattan Housing Authority and low-income housing and just housing in Manhattan overall. It's always a big topic here in a college town. More In Focus after the break here on News Radio KMAN.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by M&S Plumbing, Heating, and Air.